SBS Radio.
1 in 3 of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Wadamoli, this is NITV Radio and I'm Kerry Lee Harding, and it's that time of the week again where we get to yarn all things science and technology with Wiradjuri woman and journalist Ray Johnston. Welcome back to the program, Ray.
Thanks for having me, sis.
Great to have you back here. Now, first up, we're going to be talking about vaping on TikTok, apparently mostly portrayed positively. Is this right on TikTok, sis?
Yeah, so this is some research that was done by Aussie researchers, and they say that age restrictions need to happen on TikTok because there are constant positive portrayals of e-cigarettes and vaping without any kind of restriction to stop any teenagers or kids from viewing them. And they say that tighter regulations are needed so that that underage population isn't influenced by really with the promotion of nicotine products. And they did this research during November 2020, and they found over 800 vape videos that had been viewed over 1.5 billion times. That's a billion, that's so many times. And nearly two-thirds of those videos were really actively showing vaping and e-cigarette use as something positive, as something good and something cool and something that we should be getting into. And they also found that about a quarter of the TikTokers that were vaping in these videos, they either were or looked to be under 18. So, you know, this sounds like the kind of research that, you know, hopefully TikTok will take on board to bring in some kind of age restriction so that they aren't exposed to and get the idea in their heads that, you know, vaping's something that they should be doing.
And we're not really aware of what the future effects would be if you're vaping these days. We don't know those statistics or results yet, do we, sis?
No, that's right. There's not enough research about vaping at the moment because it's still relatively new. So we don't really know about the long-term effects of it, but we do know that it is just as addictive as smoking. You know, that a vape, you know, a full vape has as much nicotine in it as a packet of cigarettes. So, you know, we should be under no illusions that it's not an addictive substance. And, you know, there have been a lot of studies that go into damage on the lungs in regards to vaping. But, you know, as I said, it's just such a young habit that we have that we just don't know what kind of damage we're doing. But, you know, we can be certain that it's causing more damage than if we weren't doing it at all. So that's always the best path to take.
Now we go from talking about vaping and how it's portrayed on TikTok to talking about, in fact, one of my totems, cockatoos. Apparently, clever cockatoos learn through social interactions, sis. Is this right?
Yeah, this is a bit of a long one, sis, but bear with me, it's worth it, I promise. So for the first time, a team of international scientists, they've proven that cockatoos learn from each other how to lift garbage bin lids to get at the food inside there. And they've shown that this behaviour by the cockatoos is actually learnt rather than a result of genetics, like a lot of other bird behaviours. Now, sulfur-crested cockatoos in particular were the cockatoos that they looked at, and they're really smart and they're, you know, really good at adapting to living with people and living with our society. And yeah, Australian garbage bins, as you know, they have a pretty uniform design across the country. They're pretty much the same wherever you go. And sulfur-crested cockatoos are also really common across the entire East Coast. So the first thing that scientists wanted to find out when looking at this is if cockatoos open bins everywhere. And in 2018, they launched an online survey that was across Sydney and Australia with questions like, you know, where are you from? Have you seen this behaviour before? You know, if you have seen it, when did you see it? And they ran that survey for 2 years to help work out how the behaviour spread to other cockatoos in Sydney. And by the end of 2019, people living in 44 different areas saw cockatoos opening bins. And this showed that that behaviour had spread pretty rapidly and wildly. And further analysis of the survey results, that showed that the behaviour reached neighbouring districts more quickly than districts further away. So the new behaviour wasn't just popping up randomly across Sydney. The animals are really learning the behaviour from other cockatoos around them. Mm. And part of this research as well, the researchers, they marked about 500 cockatoos with little small paint dots at three different hotspots across Sydney to help identify individual birds. And that helped the researchers see which birds exactly could open bins. And it turned out that only around 10% could. Most of them were males, and the rest of the birds just waited until the other one opened the garbage bins in to help themselves. There was one exception, though. In late 2018, a cockatoo in northern Sydney totally reinvented the scavenging technique by itself, and birds in neighbouring districts then copied the behaviour. They saw that birds do not open the garbage bins in the same way, you know, but rather use different opening techniques in different suburbs. So this behaviour is learned by watching and observing each other. And the scientists looked at these results and they've called them like subcultures of cockatoo scavenging. And you know, this kind of behaviour, when we study it, we're really looking at the unique and complex culture of birds, and we can all actually help contribute to this research by participating in the Big City Bird Citizen Science Program. If you see cockatoos opening bin lids, get in touch with them and let them know.
And do we know if they were red-feathered or yellow-feathered black cockatoos or white cockatoos, sis? Any idea?
These were the white cockatoos, these ones that they were watching. So I don't know if they've seen this behaviour in the black cockatoos, but the black cockatoos are a lot rarer, you know, in those urban areas. So it'd be really interesting to see if they pass on this technique to other kinds of cockatoos as well, rather than just among the white cockatoos. But really interesting stuff.
Really interesting story indeed on our science and technology segment today. Now we go from talking about very clever cockatoos to talking about most of Australia's 1,300 threatened plants aren't actually being monitored, increasing the risk of extinctions. Do tell me more about this story, please, sis.
Yeah, so almost two-thirds, that's 63% of threatened Australian plants, they're not being monitored at all. And this is according to a recent national assessment. So this puts these species at much greater risk of ongoing declines and extinctions because, you know, without adequate monitoring, threatened species could slip into extinction without anyone noticing or having had enough time to act to help save them. And this particular study looked at how well over 800 threatened plants on the federal government's threatened species list are being monitored. And they compared those findings with monitoring for threatened animals. And it found that there are three times as many threatened plants in Australia as threatened animals, but they are much less likely to be the focus of monitoring. So, yeah, threatened vertebrate animals like mammals and birds and frogs and fish and reptiles, they're about twice as likely to be monitored as threatened plant species. Mm. And animal monitoring programs, they've generally been operating for a lot longer as well. And the length of a monitoring program is important because of long-term climate fluctuations in Australia. Now, the threatened plants, they need help. In 2020, the Threatened Species Index found that in just over two decades, the last two decades, the size of threatened Australian plant populations decreased by more than 70% on average. And more monitoring is needed for threatened Australian plants so that we can detect these declines before it's too late to act. And there's a lot that we don't know about how best to manage many species in our current climate situation. And monitoring tells us if any kind of management strategies are working or need to be adjusted, or, you know, who we really need to be talking to in order to help protect these plants into the future.
That's a really important story to hear about today. Not good that 1,300 of Australia's threatened plants aren't being monitored, which is increasing the risk of extinctions. Not good news at all. But now we go to a completely different topic that I thought we probably would never be speaking about in our science and technology segment. But you're going to tell me about West African drummers, how they can actually make their instruments speak. Now, I'm really interested in this story, Sis.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I've heard of musicians being able to make their instruments speak before. I think one of the most famous examples of Jimi Hendrix with his guitar making it sing along with him. But drummers in West Africa, they play these hourglass-shaped percussion instruments, these drums called dundun, and they can make their instrument not only sing but talk. Mm. And scientists have been really interested in this because there is a big similarity between their talking drums and their spoken language, the Yoruba language. Now, dundun drumming, it's a musical oral tradition where, you know, these really skilled drummers are manipulating the intensity and the pitch of the instrument, and they mimic their language, which is mainly spoken in southwest Nigeria. So they call them talking drums, and they can be used purely as musical instruments or what scientists refer to as speech surrogates, where they imitate the three tones of the language. And they found that these drums very accurately mimic the vocalization directly. And, you know, the scientists also looked at four modes that the talking drum connects music and language with. So you've got rhythm and singing and drum talking performative and drum talking direct. And I think one of the really important things, though, about this kind of research, and this kind of research popping up as a story that I come across, you know, is that it really shows how studying non-Western cultures can really enrich the way scientists are more generally understanding the world around us. And, yeah, between music and speech and how humans process them. But, you know, these kind of multicultural findings, they're useful for considering deeper relationships and understanding of types of communication and evolution of language and music and culture. And this talking drum is unique because it does have a foot in both language and music camps. And its existence, you know, itself just reminds us of that really thin boundary between speech and music and how important music is for communication and for culture as well. So, you know, I'm really excited that there are scientists looking into this, and that they are, you know, kind of just taking this research and using it to enhance how they move forward with hopefully other studies that they do as well.
Gotta love a good drum story. And you take me back to my school days, being in school choir. I do believe the music teacher said, you know, our voices were our instruments. So there you go, Sis.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Too bad no one wants to hear my instrument.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear my instrument anymore either, Sis.
I'm not the biggest attraction at karaoke, that's for sure.
Nah, me too. Karaoke, I'm the one sitting down hiding in a corner. I've got to be honest about that. What a wonderful way to end our science and technology segment today. Ray Johnston, Wiradjuri woman and journalist, thanks for coming by and yarning all things science and technology with us today. It's been an absolute pleasure, as it is every week with you. Thanks, Sis.
Anytime, Sis.
1 in 3 of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids HAPPY ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.